And hit Weber.
Here comes Udoh with a great move. He rang it off the post. Oh, nice maneuver. There's a drive by Weber off a stick and wide. Udoh with a great move. Then he hit the goalpost. Joining late is Strike. Right side pass. Udoh makes a fine feed. Puck Canitz shoots a rebound. He gets it back. And he rolled it wide. Udoh finding Plekanec. Some synergy there as the puck comes back to center. To Mete, so the Canadians still have the puck. Lehkonen to the right hash marks.
And they have one player, the Capitals, without a stick.
Now Udoh scores! Charles Udoh took a pass from Victor Mete. And it's 2-1, Washington.
La deuxième étoile, the second star, Charles Udoh.
Welcome back. Hour number three, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. That was Gord Miller with us yesterday.
I want to be the best player on the ice every single time I'm jumping on. So on game, on inter-squad or against another team, it's the same thing for me. I want to jump, I want to skate, I want to skate harder and be the best player on the ice.
So like Gord Miller, if you wanted to see what Charles Udoh was going to do last night, I would imagine you're impressed.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
I'm good, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I was thinking of you as we were talking to Gord last night when he mentioned Braden Point. Would you go that far?
Very similar. Absolutely. I think when we started doing this at the beginning of the year, I told you the two players that I was really going to be curious about. One was Charles Udoh, and I think obviously he's taken a step forward. And the other one was Lindgren in goal.
Yep.
So those were the two that I was kind of hoping. And, you know, we obviously talked about Noel Juulsen as being the top prospect that they probably have, and now he's hurt. But I'm with Gord on that. Braden Point's a really good player. Charles showed a lot last night, I thought. I thought he showed a lot.
And Charlie Lindgren, there's no doubt that Charlie Lindgren is going to play in the National Hockey League as a goaltender. Mm-hmm. If you're a Canadiens fan, you don't want to see what happened a few years ago when Dustin Tokarski basically took Peter Budaj's job away and ended up playing against the Rangers, right, in that series. But if something should happen to Carey Price, you could see something similar in that regard.
You could. There's no question. The interesting thing, I think, in terms of the decision that has to be had, are they really making it a fair fight between Montoya and Lindgren, or how are they pursuing this?
Well, I think Lindgren starts. They want him to get a lot of games in.
So then he's going to go play...
In Laval. Yeah,
in
to start the season.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I know they want him to play a lot, which is normal, especially coming out of college. Again, that's the interesting one, because I think he does open up some potential avenues for the Canadians in terms of the trade market, not meaning him being traded, but other possibilities.
Left boards, Jonathan Drouin, fake the shot, Hemsky, side of the net, Pacioretty shoots and scores! Well, that's what you want to see out of your power play. We're tied at two!
Well, the thing is, if Jonathan Drouin has a shot like that, they're going to have to respect it.
All right. Again, two goals, both on the power play. And if they're going to call penalties like this, Pierre, certainly through at least the first couple of weeks of the season, you got to be able to jump on these chances.
No, there's no question. I did the game this morning from China, and that's exactly right. When you have all the opportunities in the power play, you have to capitalize. And if you don't, then, you know, you're not going to be successful. Listen, this is not going to continue into the NHL season, Mitch. This is preseason stuff. We saw this in 05 coming out of the lockout with zero tolerance on obstruction, and we're seeing it now in terms of what they're doing with slashing and face-off violations. So, I mean, it's pretty apparent what they're trying to accomplish, and the players will reel it in. And you won't see the same kind of rosters as you're seeing right now. So you won't see – guys will catch on pretty quick here.
Guys like Jonathan, guys like Charlie Udon, guys like Hems Keeter, got a lot of guys that can carry the puck in, and I think our entries were good. The smarts of those players that Jonathan drew on, even the Hemskys, you know, the plays he makes on the power play, when you give him time and space, you know, and it gave Pats, you know, a nice goal on the power play. There's still a little bit of rust on all the players, which is normal, but I think we saw a little bit of what they're capable of doing.
So in that regard, Pierre, I think we all know how many issues, for whatever reasons, they've had issues entering the zone on the power play. Those guys, the hands that those guys possess, you would think, again, in theory, that they would be better this year.
Yes, you would. And we spoke of that the other day because now the coach will have a full season, including, obviously, training camp to implement ideology and structure. That's what a lot of entry is. And we talked about it yesterday. What am I looking for? I think it was Rod that asked me, what are you looking to see? Entries, first of all, coming out of your own zone, then entries and faceoffs in the offensive zone. Those are the critical components to power play. Then you can go to set up your schematic in zone with all your different looks. But that's absolutely correct what the coach said and what you're talking about, Mitch.
Andrew is on the fly, smoothly up the right side into the zone. Stick handling with those great hands. Pacioretty with the drive. He put it wide. It hit a stick and went off the mark.
He's kind of a combination of Radulov and Kovalev. I don't know.
I like that.
You know, that's pretty good.
Well, you're right, though. The hands are incredible.
Yeah, the hands are fast. He's got a lot of strength down low, kind of like Radulov had. But, man, Kovalev was another guy. You could have knocked him off the puck.
Sergio Mameso, an aspect of Jonathan Drouin's game that he flashed last night anyway that maybe a lot of people aren't familiar with.
I guess. I saw more positive than negatives with the entire team. I know they lost and everybody's talking about them losing. You can't really judge preseason through wins and losses. But no, I would say there's probably something to that. No question.
When it comes to some of the decisions that are going to be made in the next couple of weeks, and let's say it's a big one surrounding Charles Hudon, Is someone on the manager or coaching staff, are they obliged to take an opposing view if there seems to be a consensus on one side?
I hope not. I mean, you want people that have opinion. That's a real good thing, Rod, but you also want people that are honest, not just to, you know, be the stick in the mud sort of thing. If Charles is playing as well as what we've seen so far, there's really not a lot of negative to what you want to see. I mean, it's all positive. You hope. Every training camp, teams hope for breakthrough players, but hoping and knowing are two different things. I think they're starting to know that he could be a breakthrough player for them. I sure hope I'm wrong on this, but offense may be a premium for them in terms of trying to find it, and maybe he can help them find it. So I would say that, you know, if you've got somebody that's really fighting against it, him being on the team, they better have some really good reason for it, because I haven't seen any yet.
Oui, Charles continue à se démarquer. C'est que, tu sais, on est extrêmement satisfait de son camp. Puis, comme j'ai dit l'autre jour, c'est un gars qui veut rester ici, puis il fait tout pour se démarquer. C'est que, tant mieux pour lui. On aime bien ce qu'il nous apporte depuis le début du camp.
There you go. The coach just said it. There's really not a lot of flaw there. He's had a great camp. They've liked him from the beginning, and it's great stuff. I mean, that's what you want to hear. For a coach to say that publicly probably tells you a little bit about what they're thinking as a group.
Okay, so right now, though, he's on that line with Plekanec and Laikkanen, and I'm just looking at the roster, Pierre. You know, Paul Byron's around, and he scored 22 goals last year, And Andrew Shaw's around. He has a big contract, and when I look at Charles Hudon, I'm just wondering, can you play him on a fourth line if need be?
He can play anywhere. I think he's the one thing he's going to bring to the team will be energy. Another thing he'll bring potentially is maybe some guys feeling pressure so that they have to produce. Internal competition is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And I'm a big believer in young players getting opportunities after they've proven they can play in the American League. And he's clearly proven he can play in the American League and play really well.
Well, which takes us to another guy who has proven he can play in the American Hockey League, but has yet to prove he can play in the NHL as well.
I'm excited. I'm playing wing tonight, and you don't get as tired playing wing, so maybe I can give it a little bit more.
So Michael McCarron, I think they wanted to see a little more oomph to him in the scrimmage that they saw, so now he's going to get it. And then they've moved him over to the wing, and Jacob De La Rose is in the middle to start tonight. What would you want from McCarron here in the shots that he's going to get beginning tonight?
Play to your strengths. And what one of your strengths has to be is being able to dominate board play and being able to dominate slot play, especially at, obviously, the offensive zone. If you can do those two things, you're playing into your strengths, because there are not a lot of guys as big as you, and they probably are, there shouldn't be anyways, a lot of guys in the organization stronger than you. So I would want to see that. I also would want to see him be able to deal with the tempo. You know, it's not like he's just starting out now. He's had some experience. You know, I was not a fan of him not going to play for Andy Murray, Mitch. Remember me telling you that? I think the development process for him got a little skewed. Some kids need to go play major junior. Some kids need to go to college. It's two totally different ways of training players. I thought he was one that needed to go to college.
That's an interesting point, but just before we go,
I mean, that's my game. I got to get on the forecheck, play mean, get to the net, and get under the opponent's skin, and that's what you got to do, and I'm ready to go tonight.
All right, so picking up on Pierre's comments, a big, giant agitator is what they're looking for, basically, for Michael McCarron, who's got the hands to finish some garbage around the net. But we've had this discussion before, junior hockey in Canada, university in America, a little older and more mature as people when they come out of university, but not as many games played as junior players. How do you differentiate when you're scouting young kids, when you watch them, and you're trying to decide one versus the other?
Well, I'll give you an example. Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, those were players that didn't need to go to college. They were ready-made players. Now, there's more than that, but I'm just using names so people understand. Leon Draisaitl comes from Germany. He could have gone to college or gone to junior hockey. He goes to junior hockey. He dominates in Prince Albert. So those are players that, and I'm just using modern-day players so people have an understanding, those are players that are ready-made players. They need to play games. They need to get more and more pace to their game in terms of playing games. There are other guys. Johnny Gaudreau would be a perfect example. Johnny Gaudreau goes to Boston College. He might weigh 140 pounds when he's a freshman. He's not overly large. He's got to work on his strength. He's got to work on getting bigger. So in college hockey, you practice from Monday to Friday. Well, Monday to Thursday. You play Friday, Saturday. So you have all that time during the week to be in the weight room, to practice, to do all these things, and they have tutors for you to go to school. Junior hockey, you're playing tons of games. You're on the bus. You don't get that same thing. But this is not one is better than the other. Some guys need one, and some guys need the other. So I like both systems. I really do. I'm not copping out on you, but I told you on the McCarron thing, I just thought it would have been better for him to go to play for Andy Murray, who really was a pro coach coaching at the college level.
With Pierre McGuire, who might have said it, but I'm not quoting him when I say, I think Corsi is garbage.
I never said garbage. I've never used that word on the air.
A current NHL player just said it. We'll get to that in a second. But just ahead of tonight's game as well, Noah Juulsen out for 6 weeks. Tough break as he's trying to make the team. So now you have another young right-handed defenseman, Brett Lernout, who gets a chance.
Every summer you kind of focus on getting quicker, faster, stronger always, right? I mean, you could always get quicker, faster, stronger every summer. So, I mean, that's what I think everybody tries to work on.
How legitimate a defensive prospect is Brett Lernout?
I don't know enough about him. It wouldn't be fair for me to even comment. I wish I could see him in practice, you know, more often. I just haven't had a chance, so it wouldn't be fair for me. I'll have to pass on that in terms of how I would rate him as a prospect.
Jeez, that's like Mitch Gallo last night, who was in the rink, and I said, just give me a 1 to 10 like a scout would rate these guys, just overall 1 to 10 last night. And I said he gave me a 9 on Hudon, he gave me a 10 on Drouin, he gave me a 6.5 on Hemsky, he gave me an 8 on Mate, and he gave me an incomplete on Jacob Yarabek.
Oh, that's funny.
So we're gonna see Yarabek again. We're gonna see Yarabek again.
You the truth.
That's right. I appreciate that. Yeah, he didn't notice him.
Yeah, no. I mean, I just don't know. I know he played in the Western Hockey League. I just don't know enough about him. I know he's been in the American Hockey League for 2 or 3 years now, I think, if I remember correctly. I just don't know enough about the player.
What about Nikita Sherbak? If he were progressing according to the team's plan, what should we be seeing from him throughout this training camp and these exhibition games?
Well, more and more comfort with the puck. I mean, I don't think they drafted him just to be a checker. I think they drafted him to be a point getter. And I'd like to think that he could eventually evolve into that. I still think he's not playing up to the way they'd want him to play. Did not have an overly stellar year last year in the American League. So he may have been passed internally. I mean, Charles Hudon may have passed him. So that's something that for young players is never easy to accept. Sometimes it plays with their psyche, so he's going to have to adapt to that.
Yeah, Pierre, the one thing I noticed about Scherbak watching him live last night was he gets knocked off the puck very easy. He gets knocked off his feet very easy.
He's too big for
and
that.
He doesn't win any battles.
Well, that's what we're talking about. Sometimes that can affect your psyche. I think he's probably looking at it saying, you know, as a first-round pick, they're expecting more from me, and it looks internally like I just got passed. And so your mind starts to play tricks on you, especially, you know, if you're coming from a foreign land and things are a little bit different for you. He's obviously been here a few years and had the luxury of playing major junior hockey. But it's, you know, that's the hard part of pro hockey, too, is there's not a lot of room for you to make mistakes because there's always somebody looking to take your job.
I think Corsi is garbage. It's kind of a waste of time. I know stats. I pay attention to team puck possession. You know which teams are good at it. I also think plus minus is a waste of time, too. There was one year I had 9 empty net minuses. Jordan Eberle, talking to Frank Saravelli of TSN, TSN.ca, as he spoke to several star players around the league about analytics. Jack Eichel, I don't pay attention at all. I've heard of it. I don't know my Corsi. Seth Jones, if there's one stat I could take away, it would be Corsi. I don't think it gives a full representation of the game. You could be caught in situations that are not your fault. You'll have 4 shots against you, have nothing to do with that situation. And he says defensemen are often hurt in that regard. You got guys like Crosby and Malkin, and you're playing against them all game. Your Corsi's not going to be very good. That's just common sense. So I was curious if you had read it, and I know by now you probably have, right?
I have read it. Frank does very good work for TSN. Those guys have the courage to put their names on that stuff. I always respect that. And that's most of the perception around the NHL, not just star players. Most of the people feel that way that are involved in the game on an everyday basis, whether they be management people, whether they be coaches, assistant coaches, video coaches. They pay attention to time of possession, no question. They pay attention to chances for, chances against. They pay attention to hits. Some people do pay attention to plus-minus. Sometimes you have to gauge it differently because certain guys are involved in matchup situations against the other team's top players every single night, and so they're not counted on to score. They're counted on to stop people, so it's a little bit different. Some people are counted on to score, so they open up a little bit more. So there are different variations, but I would just tell you that while analytics might be used as a partial tool, it is not getting to the level that maybe some of the people that helped invent it want it to be at.
Yeah, I think there's more and more of a realization, even in the analytics community, people who do this for a living, that the shoving out there of Corsi as a be-all and end-all was way, way too premature.
Well, I mean, you know, I would say probably the most outspoken person, at least the person that had the courage of his conviction, went on the air with you and put my name behind it right from the start, and I don't think I endeared myself to too many of those people because I value what boots on the ground, real hard-edged scouts, guys that make their living in the game, that have been playing it, coaching it, managing it, watching it, evaluating players, evaluating practices. I evaluate them as being more important only because you can't, there's no analytic equation. There's zero. Nobody has proven to me one, and I know they're trying to do it with the Atlanta Falcons in football. No, and I'm telling you, you can go check it out. They've tried to implement some kind of stat. It's called a battle stat. There's no way of measuring a man's heart. You cannot. There is no analytic number for that. It's impossible to do.
Well, I mean, regardless of whether we're talking about the NHL, the NFL, business, I mean, anyone who's taken a one-track mind is just pigheaded. Like, you should want to accumulate as much information as possible and then go from there. It's what you do with the information. But to be stubborn and to think that one path is going to get you to a particular goal, that's just silly.
I applaud a lot of the guys who are and people who are doing this because I'm interested in it. I am interested. I have an open mind about it. But the Corsi thing, again, was just to totally define a player by Corsi is just not, it's unfair if you're actually watching the games. I'm into something, I'm into the deeper analytics. Like Tyler Seguin at the end of this piece is quoted as saying, I look at 5% chances sometimes. Basically, you could just say it's a little box around the net and you have to be in it to have a 5% chance. You look to see if you're plus or minus for 5% chances for the night as a center. I use it more to see what it is against me and my line for that night, how we did. That makes perfect sense to me.
Me too. I would agree with that. I'll just give you three teams that tried to build through analytics. Buffalo, failure. Edmonton, failure. Arizona, failure. And Florida, do you want me to go
Florida?
To Florida?
Well, I was going to mention what happened to Florida.
Do you want me to go to Florida? I just thought that was a little fresher. So people would remember, but those were the teams that tried to build through analytics, and I think you remember what I told you when they were doing that.
But I would also add to that, you can't argue that, but I will also add to that, I believe every team in the league has somebody studying analytics.
They do, and I think it's just keeping up with the Joneses. The teams that are the best run, their scouting staffs have doubled. In size, they've put far more resources into boots on the ground than into analytics people.
Ron Francis and I have had a good relationship throughout the whole process, and he had told me when I, decided it was time to, to do something or move on, or if I got bored enough that I could give him a call and we could, figure something out.
After two full years away from the NHL, Eric Cole officially announced his retirement last night, going to work for the Carolina Hurricanes with us earlier in the show, Pierre.
Awesome human being. Never forget, had him in hockey school in Skinny Atlas, New York, when I was just starting out as a coach, and he was just a young guy starting out on the ice. He's from Oswego, New York, went to Clarkson. I was at St. Lawrence. I mean, obviously he was there after I was at St. Lawrence, but there's always been that St. Lawrence-Clarkson thing. One of the things that I'll always remember about Eric is the BBC line with Rod Brind'Amour, Bates Battaglia, and Eric Cole. And remember what those guys did against the Montreal Canadiens in a playoff series. Phenomenal, phenomenal line.
Killed them.
I'll never forget him coming back in the 06 Stanley Cup final after, people knowing he had a broken neck. So much that I respect about him as a player, as a family guy. Great addition to Carolina. There's another example of Eric's not an analytics guy. He's going to be more of a scouting guy. And I think that speaks volumes as to what – and Ronnie Francis is one of the most respected people around the league. So that's a tremendous hire for them, and I'm happy for Eric that he gets to call a shot in terms of how he goes out.
I'm glad you made it back from China to be able to talk to us this afternoon.